At Springbrook, we light Advent candles every single week during Advent, and it's one of our favorite traditions. And each year we dream about who we want to have be our Advent candle readers. And what we decided today is, as often as we talk, use the terminology live, work, learn, and play, we wanted to find folks that do those things together. And so you have before you some folks who both work and play together. Everyone up here is on Young Life staff. And so we just are grateful for what they do in our community and who they are in our community. And so we wanted you to see their faces. This is Dylan, Mandy, Laura Beth, Rachel, Tim Teague.
Last week, we lit the candle of peace, reminding us of our hope and the one to come. And today, we light the candle of hope. This candle acts as a physical reminder of our hope and expectation in the season. We put our hope in the one to come, the promised one who comes from God to bring good news of salvation. We hope in the one who will lead us to walk in the light of the Lord. On this day, we remember to hopefully look for the coming of Christ.
Our reading this morning comes from Matthew 1, 18 through 25. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message to his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. This is the gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Draw near to us, O God. We choose in this moment to focus our attention on hope. The hope of Jesus Christ and what is coming represents for suffering people. To focus on the hope for restoration of all that is broken in the world. The hope of new life and resurrection. Hope is the light we wish to see as we wait in hope for the Lord. In Christ, all things are made new, and we look forward to the day our hope is fulfilled. Each heart reconciled, the work of Christ completed in all the earth. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Amen.
I don't know, you're supposed to applaud or something as they leave, is that right? Thanks, folks. Hey, my name's Tim. I'm not the pastor of this church. Like my daughter is. And so I will say this is, if that's the case, to give you a little bit of I've been invited to preach this morning. My history of preaching is this. About 30 years ago was the first time that I got to preach in a morning Sunday church service 30 years ago. That was the first time I ever preached in a Sunday morning church service. That too was the last time I preached in a Sunday morning service. So I'll just let you know that that I'm standing up here with a little PTSD when it comes to preaching on Sunday morning. I've spoken for a lot of different places, but a Sunday morning church service is like, whew. And you might be thinking, looking, and go, man, what a setup. Thanks. Maybe we can sneak out and go listen to Dave over at Redeemer. He preaches every Sunday. He does. Thank you for laughing, Tracy. I needed that. So you're wondering, why? Why are you doing this? So about a couple months ago, Lindsay and Seth were talking about Advent, and Lindsay comes in, she says, "Daddy, during your sabbatical, you told me that you'd preach for me sometime," which I did. And then she says, "An Advent comes up, and I know you have an Advent story that you love," which I do, "and would you preach for me sometime during Advent?" And I learned one or two things: never take a sabbatical, or never tell your daughter you're going to preach for her again. So here I am. So I think I should pray before we dive into this. Lord, thanks. Thanks for the privilege. Thanks for the privilege of Advent. And may you stir our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, last week we introduced Advent. You know, we even talked about the second week of hope. Last week was peace, but I loved it. And a couple of things I loved about the invitation of Advent, the season of Advent is what I really do embrace. And so when she said, would you do that during Advent? I really do love that. But last week, it was like this time of waiting and watching Advent. There's this season before Christmas that we wait and we watch. You know, Psalm 131 says that wait on the Lord like the watchmen wait for the morning, like the watchmen wait for the morning. And I love that. And she even told a story about Sue Monk Kidd talked about watching this monk sit on this bench and just wait and watch. And she said, you were doing nothing. And he said, oh, no. Waiting and watching, it allows our souls to grow up. And I loved that. I thought that was great. And in fact, I think even more that like a watchman waits for the morning, the children of Israel waited 400 years, a time of silence. God didn't speak for 400 years. And then he broke the silence with the cry of a baby, which to me blows me away. But can you imagine waiting and watching for 400 years? Can you imagine waiting and watching just for this infant, this baby, that's like a watchman, waits for the morning, can't wait for the sun to rise, because when the sun pops up on the horizon, then it's money. That's great. Now, I will say this. I didn't know Advent when I was growing up. We didn't go to church when I was growing up, and so I didn't understand Advent, didn't know anything about Advent. However, I will say this. The Teague family had somewhat of an Advent of sorts. And what I mean by that is this, is that, we waited and watched. Now, we didn't wait and watch for the Christ child to be born, but we waited and watched for that Santa Claus to come. And we did. We loved it. That was our ritual. We wanted that on Christmas Eve. We were ready to go because we weren't waiting on, again, Jesus, but we were waiting on Santa Claus to deliver those gifts. And we had a ritual. Now, I don't know about you, what your ritual is at your house, but our ritual was pretty big because we couldn't wait for Christmas morning. We just couldn't wait for it. And so Christmas Eve was like crazy. We were just on the edge of our seat waiting to go to bed, wake up, and then there were gifts already under the tree that were wrapped, but then Santa Claus would come and have all the toys laid out. And it was great. It was like this ritual. And my parents, it was crazy. Right before we went to bed in our Christmas pajamas, they gave us the opportunity to open one gift. It's like, oh, man, that's awesome. And so that right before we went to bed, I'd open a gift. My brother opened a gift. My sister opened a gift. We all opened one gift. Now, as you wait for Christmas morning, when a child opens a gift right before they go to bed, y'all, look, that's not the greatest time to open the gift, because right now I'm hyped up as I can be because I've just opened a gift thinking the gift nirvana that's going to happen tomorrow. And I am hyped. When they said open a gift, they might as well just told us to, here, take a 16-ounce of bottle of Mountain Dew and go drink it up before you go to bed. And you don't have to check the closets for monsters, because we did that Tuesday and two of them are gone now. We'd be so hyped, like, oh my gosh. Now that's not what they did, but that's how hyped we were. We couldn't wait for Christmas. And then they did the cruelest thing, but it's true. They say, the faster you go to sleep, the faster Christmas Day comes. It's like, well, thank you for that. Thank you for letting me be hyped waiting for Christmas Day. And that's what we did. We'd go to bed so hyped. It took us forever. They expected our minds to click off like a light switch. But we waited and watched for that morning. And like a watchman waits for the morning, we wait and watch for the Christ child, Advent season. It's just beautiful. Wonder how Joseph and Mary felt. Wonder how Joseph and Mary felt as they were waiting for the Christmas season. There's Mary pregnant. There's Joseph, her betrothed / husband / engaged. What does that mean? Well, let's take a look. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, let's stop right there. Let's take a look at Joseph. It's interesting. We know a lot about Mary. We hear a lot about Mary, especially during the season. But I don't know that we know a lot about Joseph or hear a lot about Joseph. In fact, we don't read anything about him because he doesn't speak. He doesn't say any words. We know a lot about him, but we don't know what he says. I have a buddy who says, he's the perfect biblical husband. He just doesn't talk. And so there's Joseph. We're told that he's a righteous man. I like his character. When Lindsay said, don't you have a character? I do. And it's Joseph this year. It was Joseph last year. Because Joseph means justice. His name means just. We're told that he's a righteous man. There's something about Joseph and his character that just stands out to me in Advent and also in life. We're told that the name Joseph is found throughout the Bible, not just this Joseph, the husband of Mary, the betrothed of Mary, but Joseph is found out throughout the Bible. And I'd like to say it's found out through the gospel. It's really impressive that in the morning, that in that Christmas morning, even in the Christmas story, here's Joseph, the mother of Mary, the stepfather, if you will, of Jesus. But then as you look at the gospel, we also see him at the cross. Because when Christ died and we brought his body off the cross, Joseph of Arimathea was there and he offered his tomb. And then as you fast forward a little further, when they were trying to find a disciple to replace a Judas, then the name Joseph comes up. It's actually justice because Joseph means justice. I love that. I love the fact that there's justice that runs throughout the gospel. It's just weaved through the gospel. We know that love is weaved through the gospel. But rarely do we think of justice that does the same, and they sing in unison throughout the gospel. Oh, Joseph, what a sweet, a righteous man. A righteous man, that's a great clarification, because what that means is he knew God intimately. Joseph knew God intimately because he was called a righteous man. I like that. He's humble, noble. I mean, name it. What a characteristics. I love those characteristics. I wish somebody said that about me. And he's betrothed. What does that mean? Well, if you look at the story, there's this engagement, the period in that culture, there was engagement, and then there was this betrothment, and then there was marriage. But once they were betrothed, once a couple was betrothed, it was like marriage. And when you were engaged, you could break the engagement and no harm done. But when you became betrothed, that's this engagement period when actually it was like being married, but you weren't fully married yet. That was later, when you got married. And in that moment, but to be able to separate, you would have to go through a divorce. So it was like a marriage. So here's Joseph and Mary, and they're in this place to where they're like married. And if they're going to separate, they have to separate through divorce. So they have to go through the laws to get that done. And that's the stage in which this is set. What happens next? This is how the birth of Christ Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. They were betrothed. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quickly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. You see where they are? Here he is with this woman. They're not married yet, but they're married, essentially. And then he gets the word that she's pregnant. It's like, okay, here we go. And not only does he get the word that she's pregnant, but she's pregnant with God's, you know, from God. Okay, now we're talking about something different. And can you imagine how he must have felt? I mean, here's his wife-to-be. She's pregnant. She's telling him that she's pregnant with God, that she's going to have God's son. He just gets to participate in all that's going on. And he has this feeling within him, I think I'll just divorce her quietly. But then an angel of the Lord appears. You know, it's funny. In Joseph's story, we're told four times that an angel of the Lord appears. Hey, I think that an angel of the Lord appeared to speak for God because of who Joseph was. Joseph, the one who's just, the one who's righteous, the one who's noble. I think that four times an angel appears to Joseph. Once here. And then after they have the baby, an angel appears and says, hey, Herod's going to kill you all, so you need to flee to Egypt. So they flee to Egypt. They spend time in Egypt. Then when Herod dies, who appears? Angel of the Lord. Says, hey, you can come home now. So they come home. When they come home, guess who appears another time? Angel of the Lord. An angel of the Lord pops up again and says, don't come to Jerusalem because Herod's son now is going to kill you. Head to Nazareth. And so now Jesus is known as a Nazarene because the obedience of Joseph of hearing God's voice and acting on it, to me, is remarkable. An angel of the Lord appears in order to speak for God. How many times an angel of the Lord appeared to you to speak to you? I can be honest. If an angel of the Lord has appeared to me to speak to me, I didn't get it. I wasn't aware of it. Maybe I heard it, but I wasn't aware that that was an angel. But I do have an acquaintance. When we lived in Knoxville, a guy named Billy, he tells a story that life was falling apart for Billy. I mean, it was just like, this is crazy. It's actually falling apart. You know, work was hard, health issues in their family. It was just, things were just coming undone. He was coming unraveled. And he's standing, a lover of Jesus. And he was standing in the mirror shaving, and he was just had it. And he talks to God and he looks at the mirror and he goes, God, would you just toss me a bone here? Just give me something. Are you there? And then he gets in his car and drives to work. On his way to work, he stops by the post office to get the work post, you know, mail at the post office. And he walks in, gets the mail. When he comes out, there's an elderly lady leaning up against his car as he walks out. And it's like, that's weird. There's this elderly lady, and he goes, can I help you? She goes, yes, you need to give me a ride. It's like, okay. You know, it's like, I don't think you've got a gun, but let's try this. So he says, oh, you know, he's okay. He lets her in. He goes, where are you going? She goes, I'm going home. Could you take me home? He said, sure. Where is that? He goes, just where are you going? Well, she goes, where are you going? He goes, well, I'm going to work. It's down Middlebrook Pike. She goes, that's the way. And so they drive down Middlebrook Pike, down Bearden Junior High. And they come to a red light. And right before they get to the red light, this woman looks at Billy and goes, I've been told to tell you this. He hears you and he cares. And Billy goes, I'm sorry? What? He goes, yeah, I've been told to tell you this. God hears you and he cares. And I'll just get out right here. He goes, I'm sorry, what? And she opens the door and gets out. She goes, I'll walk the rest of the way. Thank you for the ride. That's never happened to me. But I will say that God has spoken to me. How does he speak to me? The same way he speaks to you. He speaks to you and me through his word. That's how he speaks. It's really clear. He's given us his word in the Bible. And it's not by accident that he chooses to use that to speak to our heart. He doesn't speak in magical, magnificent ways. Yet he might. I'm not saying that he won't, and he can. I am saying he can. But my experience is that he's spoken to my heart through his word. I love 1 Kings 19, where Elijah goes to the mountain to commune with God, and then he sends this wind, but God wasn't in the wind. And then he sends this earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake, when Elijah's leaning in, waiting and watching like an advental time. And then he says he comes in a fire. I mean, a fire comes, but he doesn't come in a fire. But then it goes on and says he comes next in a gentle whisper. You see, that's how God chooses to speak to our heart, in a gentle whisper. That's been my experience. And if you're going to hear a gentle whisper, we have to practice Advent. Advent is sitting, waiting, watching, being quiet, and being still. That's hard for me. That's hard for us, to be quiet, to be still in order to hear. We also have to have a rhythm within us. A daily rhythm of being in God's word is allowing our souls to grow up, like the monk said last week. It's allowing our souls to grow up. To be quiet and still enables us to be able to hear the gentle whisper of the God of the universe through his word. Henry Nouwen, he's passed now, but was a Catholic priest. He was a professor at Notre Dame, and he also wrote some books. And Henry Nouwen says this, that busyness, noisiness, and hurriedness are the tools that Satan uses to rob our soul. Busyness, noisiness, and hurriedness are the tools that Satan uses to rob our soul. And I would tend to agree. And an angel appears to Joseph. And somehow he was in the posture to be able to hear what God had to say. Are you in the posture this morning to hear what God has to say? So what does the angel say? Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had a mind to divorce her. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord, I love that, appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That is great and really hard. You see, Joseph, the just. He had three options here when he found out that his wife was pregnant and he wasn't the one who impregnated her. The first option was he could put her to shame. He could bring her out in the public, maybe in the temple, and he could put her in front of everybody and say, this woman has committed adultery. And the shame and the guilt and the judgment and the rumors would pile upon her. And he says, and the law says we stone her, and he could have her stoned. Like the lady that the Pharisees brought to Jesus when Jesus was in the temple that day. And they brought this lady, they brought her and threw her in front of Jesus at his feet and said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The law says we're to stone her. What do you say, teacher? And they try to trick him. That's the same thing he could have done with Mary. Exact same thing. Hey, this woman was caught in adultery. She's with a child that's not mine. The law says to stone her. He could have. That's justice, honestly. And his name is just, but he chose not to. We read earlier, it says, he did, because he was a righteous man, he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, shame, guilt, judgment, rumors, whispers. Instead, he would divorce her quietly. What does that mean? That was option two. Option two means he's divorced her quietly, means that he would just set her free, that they would get a divorce, and she would go and live her life with her baby, and he would go live his life, and everything, no, you know, kind of no harm, no foul. No foul, no harm. And they just live their life on their own. And that's what he chose to do. That was his choice. I'm just going to not disgrace her, but I'm going to put her away quietly. And then things changed when the angel showed up. And he chose to be obedient to the instruction of the Lord. I want you to marry her. I want you to marry her. That's my child. And you're going to help raise it. And you're going to be the husband of that woman, that teenage girl. I want you to marry her. What does that mean? What would that mean in the life of Joseph? It means he steps in place for her. He steps in her place. He steps in and he says, yeah, I'm the one that's the cause of this. And therefore, I take the guilt and I take the shame. I take the judgment. I take the rumors. I take the whispers. All those things that are supposed to go to her, I'm going to choose to take that upon me. You see, that's justice as well, because it's still being paid. The consequences are still being paid. He just stepped in for it. I'll take that, because that's love too. That's a beautiful thing about justice and love and how they sing in unity in the story. I wonder when that woman was at his feet, when the Pharisees brought that woman at his feet, and they said, what do you say? And the scripture says he bent down and started writing in the dirt. I wonder if Joseph, somewhere in there, God, you know, the theologians say he says a lot of stuff. I'd like to think that he wrote the name Joseph at one point. Because as he's looking at this woman, he's looking at his mom. Because that's where his mom would have been had Joseph been just. And I wonder when Jesus was on the cross, and he's taken my guilt and my shame and my judgment and your guilt and your shame, and your judgment, and your whispers, and your sin. I wonder if Jesus thought, I know how to do this because it was modeled when I was in the womb by the one named Joseph. You see, the gospel is all throughout Advent. Isn't this beautiful? Well, then Joseph takes her as his wife, as we're told, and then they go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem with his now wife, because Caesar asked for a census during that time. So they're going to travel now from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. She's 9 months pregnant, so in order for them to be counted on the census. Now, there could be two, maybe three, because she's 9 months pregnant, depending on when they get there and when they start the numbers, right? Y'all, from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, that's about a 90-mile trip on a donkey for her. That's a long donkey ride to Bethlehem, right? Thank you, Tracy. Yes. You know, can you imagine the turmoil that he must have felt? I'm going to ask my wife, who's almost going to have this baby, ride a donkey for 90 miles. And then when we get to Bethlehem, everything's full. The traffic was bad. Donkeys backed up everywhere. They finally get to town, and there's no room in the inn. And here's his wife who's carrying the Son of God, and there's no room in the inn. So now they're placed in this stable, and this is what I have to take care of my wife for this dumb census? And any moment she's going to have a baby, and then her water breaks and contractions hit. How do you feel if you're Joseph? Oh, my word. I know how I feel. When my chaos hits, when the water breaks in my life, when the chaos that he experienced, no room in the inn, trying to take care of everybody, trying to make it happen, when that happens in my life, I go bonkers. I really do. I don't handle things very well when chaos hits and my plan is totally destroyed. When things happen that are unpredictable, when our world is thrown apart, like Joseph's in this moment. I wonder what he did. I wonder if he panicked and he just went crazy like I tend to act, not knowing what to do, looking at Mary, going, like, throwing his hands up, or maybe he's looking around, barking orders. You go over there, and you go, donkey, get over there. You get out of the way. I need you to come here. You know, who's there? Who's ever delivered a baby? Not you. No, somebody else. You know, he's looking for anybody. Or was there anybody? I wonder if there was anybody there to deliver the baby. Maybe it was just him. Maybe it was just Joseph. And there's Mary, and the baby's coming. And he's wondering, oh, is it me? There's a song called Labor of Love that I just love. It's played a lot during the season. It's from this musical, I think, called Behold the Lamb, written by Andrew Peterson, but sung, I'm telling you, when it's sung by Jill Phillips in the Ryman Theater in Nashville, it brings me to tears. When I hear this song being sung by Randy Travis in Book Warehouse over the sound system, it brings me to tears for another reason. It's a great song, Labor of Love by Jill Phillips and Andrew Peterson. I hope you've heard it. I bet you have. But there's a verse that talks about Joseph. It says this. Noble Joseph by her side, calloused hands and weary eyes. There was no midwife to be found in the streets of Davistown in the middle of the night. So he held her and he prayed. Shafts of moonlight on his face, and the baby in the womb was the maker of the moon and the author of the faith that could make a mountain move. Noble Joseph by our side, calloused hands, those rough, strong, calloused hands, when that baby came, became soft and tender and gentle and safe as this terrified infant entered into a world that was cruel, a world that hated, and a world that was in need of a savior. The deliverer delivers the deliverer. And who should appear? An angel. Yeah, an angel. Not by himself this time. You see, the angel this time shows up with a peer, a host of peers, a host of angels in the sky that scattered across the sky, and their voices echoed through the universe. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace towards all men whom God finds favor on them. You hear that? You hear that, Springbrook Vineyard? Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, on earth, peace to you whom God finds favor. May the voices of those angels echo within our hearts. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to you whom God finds favor. Let me pray before we go to Salem. Lord, thank you for Advent. Thank you that we sit quietly, and I pray even for the next few minutes that we can sit quietly and just reflect on your servant Joseph, and how he was righteous, and how he made sweet choices, and how he was obedient to your word, and how he listened. And may we listen to your voice now. In the name of Jesus, amen.